Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon.
And welcome. Welcome to another episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show that we do when we're not doing other shows.
That's the one. That is exactly the show that we do. The one that we do when we don't do anything else, including Submitted for Your Approval, a Twilight Zone podcast.
Ooh, quick drop early on with the S4YA. Make sure you check that out at apatheticenthusiasm.com, where you can find this podcast as well as everything else we do, including Interdimensional RSS, the Rick and Morty podcast.
That's right.
If you want to follow us on the social medias, there are several ways you can do that. You can follow this show at Apathusiast on Twitter. Probably not a great follow for you these days, but you can follow me at Juggalmino. He is at Barnyard Cruz. We got a Facebook page, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow, Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm, and you can send us an email at apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Patreon still out there. That's patreon.com/rickandmortypod, and we are streaming live on our Twitch and YouTube channels, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm, and search Apathetic Enthusiasm on YouTube. Get us to 100 subs on that YouTube channel so that we can fix the darn URL.
Go do it.
You can't have a custom URL without 100 subs, so tell your friends. Subscribe.
Tell your family.
Use in the tubes.
Subscribe. Tell your family. Go out and tell your family. Say, hey, family, I know of this podcast that does video, and it would behoove you to not get disowned by me and subscribe immediately.
Are you bored on Monday nights? Do you not follow the Bachelor or Bachelors in Paradise?
Yeah.
Then why not subscribe?
Sit him down with like a nice like homemade ribeye, like a fresh ribeye with some rosemary herb butter, just on the top of it, and be like, look, family, I brought you here because I need you to subscribe to Apathetic Enthusiasm over on YouTube.
Helping us get to be 100 strong over there. Appreciate the folks that are following along on Twitch and YouTube, and making it a priority to hang out whenever they get that notification that we've gone live.
Yeah,
including D Squeeze, who is always one of the first to be here. Thanks for hanging out tonight.
Ready to go.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, when we started the episode, there was something I wanted to say. You said something, and then I was like, oh, there's a point I want to make.
Is it talking about the show that we do when we aren't doing other things?
Yeah, actually, you're right. Yeah, that's what it was. So I feel bad. I want to shout out Matt Hurt, who does the Obsessive Viewer podcast, and also Anthology podcast, a fellow kind of like Twilight Zone podcast. I recorded an episode of Submitted for Your Approval with him, like, 3 months ago, and for some reason, and he was next on the list, for some reason I didn't edit it and I didn't release it And I have no idea why. I have no idea why. And I've apologized to him profusely. He's like, hey, no, that's fine. That's what so happens sometimes. But it's no excuse, especially when there are folks out there who wanted to hear a new episode. And I had that just locked away somewhere.
It's behind the paywall. You have to subscribe on Patreon to get that special.
No.
S4 Wyatt. Oh, that's not a thing.
No, it's so. Completely free. It's completely free for everybody.
Yeah. Speaking of completely free, we are free this evening. You know what I love about doing Apathetic Enthusiasm?
It is
at least an hour of uninterrupted hangout time with my bro Brandon.
Bro Brandon.
No messenger, no dice rolling. It's just the two of us,
you and me,
talking about the crap that we wasted our time with over the last couple of weeks, with occasional comments from the chat. So
just like it used to be. So let's get into it first. I wrote down I did a little bit of preparation for the show notes.
You made categories.
Yeah,
look at you. I'm so proud of you.
I wrote a trip report for my job today, so I'm like in category mode, like break things down. So we broke it down into a little bit. I wrote down that I saw a movie this weekend that came out this weekend called It Chapter 2. Now, Travis, you haven't seen the first one.
I have not seen it.
You have seen the original TV miniseries.
No, I have not seen it.
Oh, you have not seen the miniseries?
No, I have not seen it.
Okay, all right.
I haven't seen any of it.
You haven't seen any? That's so amazing to me still.
Yeah.
Still, it's so amazing to me. Yeah, all right. Well, this I don't know how I can talk about it then. How did I talk about It Chapter 1 with you, knowing that you didn't see it?
I think I had no concerns about spoilers or anything whatsoever, so okay. I was just like, yeah, go for it.
All right, well, this will be my very, very vague review of the movie for you. So if anybody who's listening, I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm just going to say how I liked the movie, and I liked the movie. I also didn't hate the movie. It has some really good parts in it, and it has some mediocre parts in it. But what I found most is that It Chapter 1 didn't feel like a remake of the miniseries at all. Felt closer to the book in a lot of ways. I think I said that before. It Chapter 2 feels like a remake almost of the It TV miniseries, as well as includes more stuff from the books. And so as you're watching it, it kind of feels like a 90s-ish TV movie, and it's 2 hours and 40 minutes long, so it almost also feels...
The movie that's in theaters right now is 2 hours and 40 minutes long?
Yeah.
That's near Endgame sort of, like, commitment.
It is, yeah. But overall, it's good. I like it. I think you should see it, but some of the bad reviews that talk about pacing, I think all in all, that's kind of where it comes from, that sense that it feels a little bit disjointed because it feels a miniseries. The original miniseries,
like, it stops and like has commercial breaks and everything, and you're like, all right, I guess I can go use the restroom because I don't have to watch this Pac Bell commercial.
Pac Bell, didn't they go away in the mid 80s?
I don't know. I just tried to think of an old company that would have been on a miniseries.
IBM. Well, in a way, like, you're not too far off, because like a miniseries, there'll be, you know, that 5-7 minute scene, and then it'll go to a commercial, and then when it comes back, it starts off with like a different character with a 5-7 minute scene. That kind of happens in this movie, where it's episodic because it's following different characters as they are searching for things. And then, like, they do like little flashbacks to when they're kids again. That's not a spoiler. And so what happens is, you could almost put a break in at the end of these scenes and be like, here's where a good commercial would fit.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
And I would not be surprised if eventually some talented person out there takes It Chapter One and cuts pieces from It Chapter One and puts it inside It Chapter Two.
Sort of like a director's cut, super, super, super cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of thing.
I could see something like that happening.
I am curious because you are a big Stephen King horror fan. So you've read the book, and then you've seen the miniseries, and now this at chapter two. Like, was the miniseries like true to the book in that part of it? And that's why maybe this second chapter is, or is it, did they just take nods from the wrong like source material? I'm curious why, like, you feel like the first film was more in line with the book and then they kind of derailed. Is it just the challenge of having so many characters doing different things, or?
Well, so in the book, it's strange because It Chapter One, it deals all with the kids, nothing but the kids. In the book, it introduces the adult characters, then it flashes back to their childhood throughout the miniseries, right? And then at the very tail end of the miniseries, it just focuses on the adults.
Okay.
This chapter two goes away from like just focusing on the adults, and it keeps doing the flashbacking stuff. So that's why I almost feel like it chapter one and chapter two can be combined into one, because you could tell the story flashing back from adults to kids better.
And it would almost tie in the way that the book is constructed a little bit more in terms of having those adults introduced from the beginning.
Yeah.
All right.
So all right. It's good overall. I liked it, but I can see why people think it's wonky.
Well, stay tuned in 2020 when some person on YouTube creates that supercut of It Chapter 3. Or it'll be, as D Squeeze says, maybe they'll have it like on the DVD or something. They can supercut it. Well, I also watched a movie,
Laserdisc,
while we were on a break here.
Yeah,
it was actually pretty similar. It was a TV movie, and that is the Steven Universe movie that came out on Cartoon Network last week. Complete departure from talking about horror. So here's the thing about Steven Universe. Have never been like super into the show, but my kids have been getting more and more into Steven Universe. And so by virtue of living in the same home as them.
Steven Universe, Stephen King.
Yeah, it's the Steven show. I've been watching episodes of Steven Universe, but I only catch like 15 minutes here and there. And I think I started watching the series on Hulu, and it seemed like a pretty like straightforward, like kind of neat concept, but animated show. And by the time like I watched this movie, I was like, holy cow, like there's a lot that has gone into this, and like there's all kinds of like different gem characters, and like they can do all like they fuse, and like one of the main characters is a fusion and all this stuff, which is like two different gems that become one. And now like basically where I'm at is like, I think I need to watch this whole series. I think I need to go back and check it all out. Cause there's some cool stuff going on in there. And that's my whole synopsis. I thought the movie was pretty good. Like the animation was pretty rock solid, and it's very musically driven.
Yeah.
Some really good music in it as well. So I don't know. That's my pitch for 3 years late to Steven Universe. But
I think I read, not read. I think I listened to an interview on NPR with one of the creators of the show.
Okay.
Maybe it's it's been a while, but it sounded really interesting, like where she was coming from with creating the characters and what have you. I don't remember the details, so this is a terrible story. I'm an awful host for bringing it up. But at the time, I didn't realize they were talking about Steven Universe. But you were talking about like fusion and the musical aspect of it, and I remember specifically them talking about those pieces.
Yeah, no, it's so good. It's good stuff. My kids were stoked for it. They like made me set the DVR, and they've watched it like 3 or 4 times since it came out. And the soundtrack is available on Spotify. There's some. Here we are in the future. That's our jam around the house.
Speaking of kids animated movies, I'm putting in that extra little bullet in the notes here. But have you seen the Netflix revival of Rocko's Modern Life?
No. These are new episodes?
Yeah, yeah. It's a new like 45-minute episode or something of Rocko's Modern Life and Invader Zim.
So I saw the thumbnail for Rocko's Modern Life on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I just assumed that it was like the old catalog of episodes. I did not know that there was new content on there. I should definitely check that out.
It is a new episode, extended episode of Rocko's Modern Life, where they have been gone for 20 years and then they land back in now modern life.
I definitely want to check this out.
you should. It's interesting. Look, viewing it, I don't know if I'm viewing it as an adult now, and so it's different in that way, or if it's just different. I mean, it's been 20 years, so it has to be a little bit. But
yeah, I'm sure your perspective has shifted. Yeah, but yeah. So you're gonna look at it through a different lens, but so are the creators, so are the people working on it. I think it's gonna be different.
And speaking of that, I get the distinct sense that the creators might be a little bitter, but who am I? Who am I to say that for sure?
Yeah. Final mention about a Netflix show that I haven't watched yet. This can be the setup for our next Apathetic Enthusiasm. Hopefully by that recording, I will have watched the Dark Crystal miniseries.
Oh yeah,
out on Netflix. You could watch the movie The Dark Crystal for quite a while over on Netflix, and now the series is out on there. I think I started to watch it and then got distracted or something, and so I intend to watch that over the next couple of weeks, and then we can give it a full review in our next episode.
A full write up. Give it its due. Okay. Well, let's talk about some online stuff. Not Netflix. Not TV. Not movies. Oh, by the way, R10X, Dark Crystal for the win. Yeah. I don't know.
Just like 30 second, like scale 1 to 10. Where are you at on Dark Crystal, the original movie?
I don't care for it.
All right.
Technical marvel,
and that is our show, everybody. So what about Labyrinth?
Technical marvel. The best part about that movie is David Bowie's codpiece.
There's a lot of great contact juggling in there. Don't get me started, friends.
Not even Jennifer Connelly. No, codpiece.
All right, I'm gonna be real serious for a second. Everything went blue on all of my screens except for the windows that we're using right now to stream this. So if we lose you guys, fair warning.
Good
but
news.
We're gonna roll with it. We're gonna go. But like, no kidding. Everything that's not a window that I'm using for podcasting is just blue. Okay, and we're back. I think maybe Windows. Oh nope, it opened a File Explorer window, so you guys can see that now.
Okay.
Someone is hacking my computer as we stream.
Okay, well, we're just gonna keep talking. Speaking of hacking you live,
It's Adobe. It's the product. It's the product company Adobe is updating all of my applications while I podcast.
Awesome. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Nintendo Direct came out last week. They came out with some announcements. And of those announcements, Super Nintendo Online became a thing. Did you hear that or pay attention or get
Somebody at work offhand comment said, "Hey, Super Nintendo games are coming to Nintendo Direct." And I was like, yay, I have that. So,
yeah.
I also have this. So,
admittedly, I didn't actually prepare for this section of it. I just thought it was a cool piece of note that is like, oh, cool, Super Nintendo games online. I looked at the list initially and I was like, yeah, I mean, that's cool. I could pull it up again. But did you see anything off of there that, like, that you
I've literally told you everything I know about it.
Oh, well, let me tell you a little bit about it.
I'm gonna sneeze. I'm trying not to sneeze.
Don't sneeze. All right. So this is gonna be on Polygon.com. So we're looking at Super Mario World, Super Mario Kart, Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past, Super Metroids, Kirby's Dream Land, Star Fox, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, which I've never played. That could be
okay.
It could be pretty good. Supergirl's a Ghost, Joe and Mac 2, Lost in the Tropics, Brawl Brothers, Breath of Fire, which I've never played. Maybe I could try that out. Pilot Wings, F-Zero.
Solid titles on there, for sure.
Yeah, there's more going to be released. Those ones, for some reason, I'm not super excited. Give me some Vegas Stakes. Oh, yeah, I'll jump on that right away.
So I'm sure we've gone over like my console history at some point in the years that we've been doing this podcast.
Yeah.
But I was not a Super Nintendo kid, right? Cause I bounced consoles, Nintendo, non-Nintendo, back and forth. So the breakdown: Nintendo Entertainment System, Sega Genesis, Nintendo 64, Xbox, like original Xbox. And then I got like a Wii and a Wii U and an Xbox 360 and then a Switch.
Yeah.
With DSs and Game Boys sprinkled throughout. So I was not a Super Nintendo kid. So like there's a lot of those games that don't have the same sort of nostalgia for me, like, you know, playing them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I had friends with Super Nintendos and I played at their house, but like, I don't know, like, some of those games I could go back and just play for the first time.
Yeah, I just looked at like the list of old school Nintendo games that they have on there, and those and all those games, I'm like, ooh, I want to play that again.
Ooh,
and like I've bought the Mega Man collection on Xbox. And I've the first and second collection. I played the hell out of those. Those are all classics. I mean, some of the SNES ones were on there, but for some reason, the Super NES not super thrilled about. Maybe it'll surprise me later on down the road.
We'll see. You got Gears of War 5 in here. Is this something that you're firing up right now? Is this something you're playing?
Yeah. So talk about Gears of War 5 real quick. I think it comes out tomorrow actually on Tuesday. Okay. But if you have Xbox Ultimate, Game Pass Ultimate, you get to play Gears of War 5 right off the bat. So for those who don't know, Game Pass Ultimate combines Xbox Live with the Game Pass. So if you're paying for Xbox Live, you might as well switch to Game Pass and also be able to play games on their in their library on PC and Xbox.
Are you telling me I messed up by just buying gold?
If you have just gold right now for like a year, you can transfer it, I think, for a certain amount of time, and then transfer it straight to Ultimate for like a dollar.
So, remind me to do that after we finish recording this.
So all those, but yeah, like I've talked about Game Pass before. There's so many games on there. Not all of them are great. There's not a, there's not a whole mess of multiplayer games that I want to play with folks. But Gears of War 5 is on there. So anyways, booted up Gears of War 5. I haven't really played a Gears of War since 2. And so far I played with Sizemore, old size mode.
Size mode.
One of the modes that I like, you know, they have the typical co-op. They have horde mode.
Excuse me.
They have this new mode called Escape, which I really like, which is you are, you go into like this hive area and there's a bomb, and then you have to get out of the hive before the bomb goes off. And so it's a very like beginning and an end of this little mini campaign. I like it more than Horde, because Horde is like, throw everybody at you. Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, just it's like never ending until you're...
Put on your defenses. I'm not a huge fan of the wave. I'm a fan of like start, end, boom, done. Let's do it again. It's really cool mode. I dig it. Your guys level up. They get more abilities. Just playing through it. I just started. So just shout out to that. It still has some bugs because it's not fully released yet.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun. It'll be good. It'll be good.
Whenever we talk about Gears of War, it takes me back to like original Gears of War, when we'd get like that. We had a lot of people from work that I worked with all playing Gears of War, but it was the same time when like my daughter was like a newborn baby.
Oh yeah.
So like my wife would go to work, and I would like put the baby to sleep in the swing, and she'd be rocking peacefully. As me and my buddies are like yelling at each other and chainsawing each other. And then I like look over and like, little sleeping baby.
Little cute sleeping baby.
And that also,
I fucking killed you.
And that's always my frame of reference too for how long Gears of War has been out. It's like, well, let's see. My oldest was 11 years ago. Okay, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Shoot. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Right? Long time.
But that brings up, you know, kids and growing up, that brings up something that a different game that I bought, is, Astral Chain. It's for the Nintendo Switch. I bought this game so I could play through it. It's basically, kind of a Devil May Cry Bayonetta-esque type of game where there's combos and do a lot of action-based combat. But it's called Astral Chain because there's like monsters that attach to your wrist with a chain, and so you can control them to do stuff, and they're like a, you know, it's like a leash, so they can't get too far away from you. I played a lot of it, and you can collect different legions, they're called. So there's like an axe legion, sword, arrow, arm, and one other one. And my son got wind of this, and he's like, oh cool, that game looks fun. And I went to bed one night, and the next morning I woke up and he was playing the game, and I was like, okay, sure, he can play it on a different profile. Then I went to work, when I came back, he was still playing the game, and for like the last week he's been playing the game, and I was pretty far in that, and he passed me up, and I'm like, man, this He's not even 8 years old, and he's starting to, I mean, he's not better than me, but he's advancing so quickly. And I just thought that was interesting that, you know, like, I don't know where I was at 7 years old when I was playing games, definitely not on an Xbox One or a Switch. But just like watching the evolution of a little human being get better at certain aspects, you know,
there's a weird point in parenthood when you like you've been teaching your kid how to play games and stuff, and then all of a sudden one day they like are not necessarily better than you, but like they know more about a specific game, or they're more involved in a game, and then you're like, wait, what happened? Like, okay, yeah, cool. You be the person in charge of Fortnite, because I don't want to know that. Yes, also D Squeeze says, I have a ghost in my house. No, that is my dog trying to get into my office. Poor Kona.
poor Kona. Yeah. Like the we're driving to the store, and I was like, "All right, man, tell me about this game." He's like, "Well, you know, so I have these four legions, and Akira, he is trying to find his dad, but there's a bunch of red fusion stuff that's going on." And so I was like, "Okay, well, what level are you on?" Like, "Well, Olive just sent me on a quest to this place." I'm like, I don't actually know what you're talking about. He's like, "And then the homunculus attacked." I was like, "What?
I can't even pronounce half of these words."
Homunculus. that's cool to me. But I can't sit there and watch him play it because then I'm like, he's still making progress, but
do the combos. Like, oh no, you gotta.
Oh, like, don't put the armor on. That's the weak way to do that, boss. But you know, it also reminded me. You sent me a picture the other day. Your son drew a picture, and you were proud of him that he was getting better at art, right?
At art, right? So. I mean, this goes with a little bit of a backstory. Like, I have grown up as an artsy type person. I always did a lot of drawing growing up. And so that inevitably meant that I got art supplies at almost every gift giving holiday. I'm not bitter about it. I'm just saying it's true. It happened. But yeah, so I have been told I'm good at drawing for a really long time, which is why I've chosen to, you know, get into graphic design and some of those things. But my kids are all sort of displaying these traits in different ways and at different periods. So my youngest, she took to drawing like really quickly, and she likes to follow along like with YouTube tutorials, and she draws things really well, and she does a great job there. My oldest is very like expressive and draws like, and she loves to paint and do different things. But my son has always kind of been like, he never really drew things just like from memory, like super like detailed. It was always like very basic. And then all of a sudden it's like he turned a corner, and now he is looking at things and drawing them freehand really well. And so we're sitting at dinner the other night, and I have a Rick and Morty shirt on because, you know, branding. And and this is the picture that he draws. Let's see if I can. But he was just copying my shirt, and he drew a pretty solid Rick on some lined paper, you know, like a scrub. But yeah, so and I look over, and I'm like, "Dude, that's a really good Rick. Good job." I don't know if my 9-year-old should be drawing Rick all the time, but he does. But yeah, and then he's been doing a lot of stuff. He got a book that's like how to create your own comic book. Mm-hmm. and it kind of walks you through like how to develop a story, how to develop your characters, and like gives you like situations and things for your characters to be in. And he is just eating that stuff up. And so it's just really weird to kind of like see like these little, you know, human-like people, you know, evolve into, you know, humans with cool abilities and things like that. So that's the Jerry segment of our show where we nerd out about being dads. But yeah, it's cool. And it's cool to see, like, there's a video that my wife took where my son had my iPad with the Apple Pencil, and he was drawing in Procreate. And he was kind of like tracing Steven Universe, bringing it back around.
Yeah.
Steven.
Oh, Universe. Yeah. There we go. There we go.
But he was like drawing and coloring and like learning how to use the tools in there. And he has headphones in, and he's like singing, and he's, and my wife's just like, he is a tiny you right now. Like he is just exactly what you would be doing on the couch. And she's not wrong.
Just like Miles in Miles Morales and Enter the Spider-Verse.
I'm gonna say, hey, sunflower. Never too much. Yeah, that's it.
That's good. Yeah.
Post Malone, everybody.
Oh yeah, Totes Malone.
Totes Malotes. All right, that's the kids growing up segment. Moving into our final pre-planned segment of this episode. We're going to be talking travel, travel tips with Brandon and Travis. That's the story.
Traveling tips. Flowers.
Free upgrades.
Yeah, let's talk a little about travel tips brought to you by Apathetic Enthusiasm. If you are planning on traveling this summer and or fall for the holidays, make sure you are choosing one kind of airline and make sure you rack up as many points with that airline as you can. That makes it a little bit difficult when you're shopping on a budget. You say, no, I don't want to always use American Airlines or Southwest or Alaskan. Say you want to use something else through Orbitz, and Orbitz just says, this is the one you're getting. Well,
you take it and you'll like it.
You save money, but you miss out on the points. Now, so here's my suggestion. Get those points. Get some free flights. And while you're at it, if you're on a flight overseas and you get upgraded to business class because you have plenty of points, well, let me tell you, that is the way to friggin' travel. So, all right.
I feel like this segment is going to be like Cinderella story with Brandon. how an upstart kid from the mean streets of LA learned to love traveling in business class.
I have pictures of business class. Of the pod that I was in business class. Let me tell you. Here's how this happened. I was getting on the plane and I show my ticket, and she says, "Oh no. This isn't right." And I'm like, "Oh god, this isn't right.
I'm in the wrong place." Oh no.
Oh no. And then she comes back 2 seconds later. It's a ticket. And it says business class. And I'm like, "What is this? It's a ticket." It's the same ticket. And my buddy's like,
"I don't want to do work on the plane."
My buddy's like, "It's a free upgrade, you dumbass." I was like, "Oh." So we're getting on the plane. I'm following right behind him. He turns right when he gets on the plane. I turn left, and I see
you just flip him off as you turn. You're like, "Sucker! Oh, good luck back there with the rest of the schlubs."
It was glorious. Like, it's just like I was a pod person, right? Like, this little pod, right? You sit down, there's like, yeah, it doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel like it's a safe place to fly, actually, because you have your seat, and then there's like a little cubby hole in front of you where you can put your feet up. And then on your right, there's like an extra like little like love seat. So like maybe like put like a dog or maybe an affair person,
an escort. Do they have those up there? I don't know. I don't have as many points as you do.
Not that I checked, but I'm pretty sure they didn't. But they did give you. They gave me toasted nuts, fresh toasted nuts. She was like, "Would you like some toasted nuts, sir?" I was like, "Hell yeah! Give me the best toasted nuts you got." And I just started jumping on, like a table that comes down, like a big, probably like, I'll say big, but like 32-inch monitor in front of me. And then like little buttons that go backwards. And then you can go all the way back. And then they gave me free pajamas. I got free pajamas and lotion for my face. And then, here's that. So check this out. So then she's like, "Do you want me to wake you up if you for breakfast?" I was like, "Yeah, if I'm asleep, wake my ass up, of course, yeah." But I didn't want to wake up. I didn't want to go to sleep. She came over for dinner. There was a cheese plate. I ordered the fancy cheese plate, and she came over. She set the table down. She put a nice little tablecloth on there. She set a little LED candle at the front of the table.
This is so extra. Okay.
She brought out a fancy wine menu, and they have an extensive wine list. I said, "I'll try this one." And she came over. She poured a little bit in the glass. She's like, "Would you like to try it?" I'm like, "Sure." I did a little sippy thing. Like I was pretending like I care what kind of wine is in my glass. I'm like, "Oh yeah, ooh."
The immediately cut to your friend back in, you know, regular class with his knees up in his chest and some kid screaming in his ear while someone else is spilling half of a can of Diet Shasta in his lap.
Shasta.
Yeah.
And then you're like, this is a good year. It smells like tennis balls.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'll take a whole glass. Thanks.
They literally could have like poured Franzia into there, and you'd be like, yeah, that seems like a good one.
Oh my god, it was wonderful. It was wonderful, and then like the pod, the door closes, so like I'm just like alone by myself, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could do anything in here by myself. Anything.
I don't want to know what happens in those pods.
Honestly, no, it's probably disgusting. Like what people, people are so nasty. Monsters.
So I gotta be real. Like there have been occasions where I've gotten some points, or I've gotten the upgrades as well, and I'm always like so sort of like self conscious when I get the upgrade, because I'm like. Like, do I really fit in here? Like,
yeah.
Like, are there those people that are like next to me that are like, he's an upgrade. You can tell. Doesn't even know which wine to pick off the menu.
What an idiot!
Look at him pushing all the buttons like he's never been in a pod before.
Yeah, no, it's true though. Like I got up at one point in time to go to the bathroom, and I was close to the entry door, and so like I went back that direction to go, and I was like, oh, where is it? Because I hit the curtain before I hit a bathroom, and. I asked the flight attendant, I was like, is the bathroom right here? She's like, no, your bathroom is up there.
Don't you go back there in your fresh pajamas, sir. Use the private bathroom at the front of the plane. Just walk in, past the pilots, make sure to say hello as you walk through the cockpit. And then enjoy the bidet in the royal bathroom.
D-Squeeze says I'm just supposed to go in my pod. I can't promise you I didn't.
You didn't lift up. You didn't lift up the cushion on the seat in the pod.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. There was like one of the seats. It was like a fucking ice chest. Like you open it up, and there was like soundproof or whatever, like
noise canceling headphones.
Noise canceling headphones in there. Like I could put, there's a fresh bottle of water in there.
Wait, the headphones weren't in the cooler.
They were. I mean, the cooler wasn't cold.
Oh, but, okay. All right. Fair enough.
It was like a little storage bin, though. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
You could have done anything in that storage bin. All right. Well,
take it a dump.
From the lap of luxury and flying business class to travel on a budget, my family has been obsessed recently. We were essentially gifted the opportunity to take a family vacation down to Florida to go to Disney World. And so we are in the middle of planning that. We're sort of in the late stages of planning that. We've got pretty much all of it figured out except our fast passes. So, so I am like flying on a budget, and I'm like, all right, how can I get a family of five down to Florida, like just above, like in a cargo freighter? Like how can I just above having FedEx just throw us in the back and ship us overnight? And there are some incredible budget airlines, and we found a direct flight to Orlando that, like I've paid more for one ticket, for myself to fly somewhere, than I paid for the five of us to go one way to Orlando. But the way the budget airlines like will nickel and dime you these days, like they wanted to for checked bags, obviously, also charge for carry-on bags, also charge to pick your seat, $15 per butt to pick where you're gonna sit on the plane, and then like all kinds of other like little nitnoid things. But anyway,
ticket a la carte. Do you want the seat with the seat belt? $10.
If you want the oxygen mask, that's a $15 upgrade. Or you can share with your neighbor for $7.
If you need oxygen from that oxygen mask, well, we have a special one-time guarantee.
and we only like half the oxygen masks work. Just hope that you've got a seat with a working oxygen mask. but we are planning that Disney vacation, and I will tell you, I grew up in Southern California, big Disney fan, Disneyland fan. We got the Mouse ears in the back, right? Spent the better part of my dating life with my wife, like with annual passes and just going to Disneyland to hang out. And the difference in planning a Disneyland vacation versus a Disney World vacation is night
astronomical.
And day. It's totally different. Like there are two theme parks at Disneyland. You either go to both of them or you go to one of them. It's like comparing
apples and oranges.
I guess. Well,
it's planning to eat like a fruit salad with apples versus a fruit salad with oranges. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's like
if you had to reserve the oranges 180 days in advance and then make sure that you reserve your apples 60 days in advance and then determine on which days you're going to eat apples and on which days you're going to eat oranges. And charts, a spreadsheet, and several like bookmarked pages. All to try and optimize my Disney World vacation because there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do out there. So much.
I've only been to Disney Springs or Disney Downtown or whatever it is because it's free.
Yeah.
And I had some overpriced margaritas there. It was all right.
All right. Well, I'm super stoked. Maybe we can podcast live from Florida. Maybe we're going to have to. But we'll figure that out as that date approaches.
Yeah, as that date approaches. For those not following, I have a theory that Rick and Morty season 4 is going to be that same weekend that he just happens to be here in Orlando, because that is the same weekend of Adult Swim Fest, where they are premiering an episode of Rick and Morty, and it's my theory. It has been my theory that they are going to premiere season 4 that weekend. So
apathetic enthusiasm listeners, you are in the inner circle of trust, right? But when you hear on Interdimensional RSS that I flew to Florida special just for the season premiere of Rick and Morty, you know the truth.
You know it. You know the truth.
Yeah. But that would be a good time either way. So
it will be.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What else is there to talk about? We got some people hanging out in chat. If you guys have anything going on, we got D Squeeze still hanging out. Omar warning me that I'm gonna sweat my balls off in Florida. Hoping November is kind to us, but I know it's still warm right now. And I do not live near Hastings. I don't know where that is. No, I don't either.
Shoot. I'm going to go. Speaking of hanging out with people, I'm going to hang out with Omar at Hollywood Horror Nights one of these nights.
Hey.
It's going to be so great. They've got, I don't even know what they have. Stranger Things? No.
Do they have It stuff?
No, I don't think they have It stuff. Have you gone to those types of things before, right?
Bro, no, that's totally not my scene.
Yeah, you love doing that type of stuff.
I know that my work is going to be creating a haunted house in the building that we work in.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious how that's going to work with like our actual day-to-day jobs. Like I'm confused how we're going to work like our normal 9-to-5s and then also have a haunted house in our office, but apparently they made it work in the past.
Oh, it is a Stranger Things thing. Yeah. Oh, and Us. There's an Us one. I know Omar's super stoked about that.
Wait, Universal Monsters. There's a This Is Us?
Yeah.
Is it just like crockpots and fire?
No. Us. Jordan Peele.
Oh, right. Of course.
Us. This Is Us. Yeah. It's horror because everyone's just like crying from sadness. Somebody else
died. Just family drama and sad tears. And nothing.
There's a Ghostbusters one.
Ooh, hey.
And then a Universal Monsters one.
Yeah, Universal usually puts on some good horror fests, and then Not Scary Farm. I know Knott's out in California was always a big draw for folks. Six Flags did like horror stuff too. I think
they sure did. Yeah, I've been to Six Flags more than Not Scary Farm. Not Scary Farm was great. But Chelsea's not a huge fan of that stuff. She doesn't like people jumping out at her. Yeah. She gets mad at me when I do that. So,
fair enough. I mean, it is. I mean, we're very close to the official start of fall. The unofficial start of fall was like early August, I think. But yeah, the pumpkin patch that my wife literally like. It's the reason she loves Nebraska, I think. They open up this Thursday. And so I will pretty much be there every available night between now and October 31st. So,
okay.
It's yeah. Good. A lot of apple cider in my future.
good for you.
Time to start packing on those calories for the long winter.
It's good for the immune system, all that cider. All right. Well, I think that will probably do it for the episode itself. Any final thoughts, Troll Travis?
Hey, thanks to everybody that's hanging out. I did get a chance to go visit the Rickmobile as it passed through Omaha. I'm sure we'll talk about that at length in semi-permanent news over on Interdimensional RSS. But if you have not seen the live stream from when I was out there, you can head over to our Twitch channel. Again, that's twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm and watch about 15 minutes of me wandering around a parking lot. Trying to find things to talk about with the Rickmobile. But I had some fun out there. Got a little, just a tiny bit sunburn on my head, but not too bad.
Should have bought a hat.
Yeah, I should have bought a hat. I realized after I had done all that, I had a hat in the car. But, you know, it is what it is.
Hindsight's 40 Ricky. I don't know. I was trying to throw a Rick and Morty. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've seen worse things.
But yeah, if you are new to this podcast, we're so glad to have you. Thanks for hanging out for the whole thing. Head over to Apple Podcasts if you happen to be listening on that platform and rate and review the show. Let us know what you think. Let us know if there are any topics that you guys want us to cover. And yeah, otherwise, hang out live. Make sure that you're following on Twitch and YouTube so that you can be a part of the show and. For those of you that are purely audio listeners, we usually do a little bit of a hangout with the Twitch folks and the YouTube folks right after each episode. So make sure that you're following along live if you want to interact and be part of the show. That's it.
I do have one more thing.
Nope,
Omar,
that's it. I already said that.
Thanks for pointing. No, I have one more thing. I gave you a chance. Killer Clowns from Outer Space are going to be there. What? Oh my gosh.
That's
so cool. Thanks for saying. I even looked it up just to be like, Omar, you're making shit up, Omar. Look at you making shit up. And I looked it up online. Sure enough, there it is. Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Which, by the way, I hated that movie when I first saw it. And I was like, this is stupid. But I've since fell in love with it.
Okay.
I've fallen in love with it, Travis.
Love is in the air.
I'm leaving Chelsea for Killer Clowns.
Killer Clowns love. And with that, that will end our episode. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger,
offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.